Let us pray together. Most gracious and eternal Father, we are so grateful to be able to call your name on this day. We know that it is at the mention of your name, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. We know that you are Lord God, and we worship you this morning. We're grateful that you have allowed us yet another opportunity to enter into your house of worship. So, Lord, we bow in humble submission to who you are and what you mean to us in our life. Now, God, it's preaching time. And we pray, oh God, that your word might be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. Give us this day what we need. Hide me behind the cross that they may see none of me but all of thee. And when it's all said and done, Lord, we'll be careful to give you all praise, all glory, all honor, which is already yours. In the wonderful name of Christ Jesus, we do pray, and together every child of God shouted amen. Amen, amen. Come on, let's give God some praise for our praise team. Amen, helping to lead us to worship the Lord in song. Amen. It is good again to be in the house of the Lord, and we are extremely grateful for the opportunity to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. And we pray that that as you tune in to this service, that you may encounter the presence of Almighty God, that we may hear a word from the Lord. If at all possible, I want to highlight today in our hearing out of the book of Psalms again, and we'll use for our scripture this morning, Psalms 103. We're going to highlight verses 1 and 3. Psalms 103, and we'll highlight verses 1 through 6. I'm reading from the English Standard Version, and it reads as follows. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities and heals all your diseases, redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Verse 6. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. I want to put a tag on this text, talk about for a timely tidbit. Forget not his benefits. Forget not his benefits. Or for a subtitle, I would entitle it God's Benefit Package. God's Benefit Package. Listen, my brothers and sisters, if we were to take a sheet of paper and be asked to list all of the blessings that we have experienced and enjoyed in our life as a believer and even as a non-believer, it would not be long before we would be asking for another sheet of paper. When we begin to count our blessings, we soon realize how much God has blessed us. When we begin to name them one by one, we begin to understand and see that God has poured out blessings in our life. It is, beloved, in Psalms 103, where the psalmist thinks about how much God has blessed him. In the Psalms, in this psalm, you do not find one petition or one request from the Lord. The psalm, from its first word to the last word, is completely one of praise as the psalmist, hear me, beloved, praises God for his plentiful and bountiful and numerous blessings. It is in verses 1 through 6, we see personal praise. It is verses 7 through 19 that we see national praise. And then the psalmist concludes in verses 20 through 22 with universal praise. And I want to focus today on verses 1 through 6 and consider how the psalmist encourages us and even inspires us to think about the many blessings that we have received from the Lord. And the truth of the matter is, beloved, the first thing I believe that the text is tailored to teach us is we see a believer's rejoicing. It's in the text. I don't want you to think I'm making this up. Verse 1, he says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." In these words, we find the psalmist rejoicing and expressing his gratitude for all the things that God has done for him. Rejoicing, beloved, is to be the common characteristic of every single believer, everyone who names the name of Christ as their Lord and Savior. We ought to recognize that rejoicing ought to be the order of the day. It is that where Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16, he says, "Rejoice evermore." It is in Psalms 105, line 3, where the psalmist says, "Your glory in his holy name, let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord." And beloved, hear me and hear me good. Every believer should be rejoicing, a rejoicing believer, because every believer has much for which they can rejoice about. And as we look at the psalmist, beloved, we learn from his rejoicing. The first thing that we learn from his rejoicing is that praise is divinely focused. Notice he says, "Bless the Lord." I like that, beloved, because we frequently ask the Lord to bless us. But in this case, the psalmist is speaking of blessing the Lord. The ideal is that of bringing delight and pleasure to God as we give him praise and rejoice in him for all that he has done for us. Warren Wiersbe put it like this when he says, "Parents are pleased when their children simply thank them and love them without asking for anything." I know some parent ought to say amen right there. It is because, beloved, whether we know or not, true praise comes from a grateful heart that sincerely wants to glorify and please the Lord. The psalmist is not concerned with being seen by others, but only, beloved, with what is said to the Lord. He is not focused on what he feels, rather on what God feels. He says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." In other words, beloved, because he had been blessed by God, he now in turns want to turn around and bless God. I've heard people say, "Beloved, I didn't get anything out of service." The question that I would ask is, what did you bring to the service? What did you give in service? And the truth is, when we go to church or when we tune in online or on Facebook or on YouTube, the truth of the matter is, beloved, we should get something from the service, but the ultimate purpose in going to church is to give something. Yeah? I said it, I'll say it again. It is to give something when we engage in corporate worship. Are you listening to me? Church is more than about what we get from God. The ultimate purpose of going to church is to give God praise for all of his blessings we have experienced throughout the week. We've gone through a whole lot of trials and trauma and tribulation throughout the week. Yet God has kept us and is keeping us. And when we come to church, we ought to want to thank God for bringing us through. He says, "Bless the Lord, not the preacher. He says, bless the Lord, not the deacon. He says, bless the Lord, not beloved. Watch this, not the praise team, but I'm in church because I want to give God the praise. Praise for bringing me through. Praise for bringing me out. Praise for helping me with my situations in life. It is, beloved, not so much about what we get in church. It is about what we give. I hope somebody get that today, because if most people were honest, the truth of the matter is they would admit that their rejoicing is motivated by what they feel rather than what God feels. The focus of our praise ought to be the Lord. The purpose of our rejoicing is to bless the Lord. Furthermore, beloved, listen, praise is divinely focused, but also praise ought to be deeply felt. Notice he says, bless the Lord, O my soul, watch this, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Somebody missed their shout right there, because here it is. His praise in the psalm, at the psalmist, his praise comes from the depths of his heart and his soul. His rejoicing is more than superficial or an external act on his part. His expression of gratitude is deeply felt as he rejoices in all that God has done for him. I like the way Charles Spurgeon put it when he said, many are our faculties, emotions, and praise, and capacities, but God has given them all to us that they ought all to join in a chorus of praise. He goes on to say, half-hearted and ill-conceived, unintelligent praise are not such as we should render to our loving Lord. In other words, beloved, Charles Spurgeon was suggesting that we have all of these faculties, we have all of these emotions and capabilities and capacities within our human self, he says, and we ought to give all of it to God. We ought to use everything we have to give God praise. It's like the psalmist who says in Psalm 63, line 3, where he says he uses his lips to express his praise. He says, because of thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. I like the way the psalmist spoke in Psalms 141, line 22, where he says, even my mouth shall speak praises of the Lord. He spoke of his hand, both in the clapping or the lifting of them up in praise in Psalms 47 and 1, where he says, oh, clap your hands, all your people, and shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Psalm 63, line 4 says, thus I will bless thee while I live, and I will lift up my hands to your name. In other words, as long as I got breath in my body, as long as there is blood running in my veins, I'm going to lift up my hands and my heart to give God some praise. I hope somebody hears me today, because right where you are and what you're going through in your life, over and over in the Bible, we see examples of man using every faculty that is employed to him and expressing his praise to God, as well as a wide range of emotions, from singing to shouting to crying to running. I wish somebody would help me. And the truth of the matter is, true praise arises from a heart and soul that is moved by what God has done for them. Listen, if you don't understand that God has done anything for you, then brother man, sister girl, I ain't talking to you, but I'm only talking to the one that knows that beyond a shadow of a doubt, it was the Lord that blessed you, and it was the Lord that brought you. It was the Lord that did for you what you could not do for yourself. And so instead of looking at me like you're crazy, I wish somebody would help me. Just lift your hands and give God praise. Just shout hallelujah and tell God thank you. Because the truth of the matter is, true praise and true rejoicing arises from a heart and a soul that is moved by what God has done for us. For those of you who know, I'm an avid Laker fan. I'm passionate about it. I love the Los Angeles Lakers as a basketball team. I know I live in Sacramento, and I lived in the Bay Area where the Kings and the Warriors resided. But I grew up a Laker fan because where I grew up, Sacramento did not have a team. And I'm one who is loyal to my allegiance. I wish somebody would help me. And I just can't help but loving the Lakers. I remember the first time I was able to see the Lakers in person. It was at the old Power Balance Pavilion, where somebody invited me, because they knew I was a Laker fan, to see the Kobe Bean Bryant Lakers. It was Paul Gasol, and it was, if you would, Andrew Bynum and Fisher and all the other cats that was on that team. And whenever Kobe jumped up and dunked the ball, I jumped up out of my seat. I shouted like a crazed man whenever Paul Gasol would swish a shot. I wish somebody would help me here. I shouted and pumped my fist in the air like I just didn't care. I was amongst the enemies of the Kings fan, but I shouted and I screamed for Kobe Bean Bryant and Paul Gasol like I had lost my mind. And listen, beloved, I told you that because if I could use all of my faculties, my voice, my hands, I wish somebody would help me, my feet and my legs, to shout out to Kobe Bryant and the Lakers, who had never done anything for me, how much more should I give the one who died on Calvary, come on somebody help me, for my sins and my suffering, for the one who loved me when I didn't love myself? How much more should I jump up and use everything I have to give God praise and rejoice in the Lord for all of his benefits? Let me read what the psalmist said again. He says it like this, and this is how we ought to read this psalm. He says, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. We got to read it with enthusiasm, because when we remember what the Lord had done for us, we can't help but give God some praise. Woo, I wish I could help somebody like I'm helping myself today. Listen, beloved, the truth is, we see the believers rejoicing, but watch this. The reason why a whole lot of us can't rejoice, because what we don't see is a believer's remembrance. It's in the text. He says, bless the Lord, watch this, oh my soul, and forget, verse 2, not all of his benefits. The psalmist not only calls his soul to bless the Lord, but also not to forget all of his blessings and benefits. Listen, beloved, the word forget is used by the psalmist. It speaks of something that has been lost to memory, or a period of time that has softened the memory. Time has passed it, and yet we seem to forget what somebody has done for us. We are always mindful of the Lord. We are always to be mindful of the Lord's blessing, always thoughtful, always grateful, because forgetfulness, watch this, is the cause of ingratitude. In other words, we can't thank God because we done forgot some of the things that the Lord had done for us. I like the way Donald Barnhouse said, when he said the vast majority of mankind never gives thought of gratitude toward God for all of his care and his blessings. Another theologian said, thankless men are like swine feeding on acorns, which though they fall upon their heads, it will never make them look up to the tree from which they came. Another theologian said it like this, I fear that what will surprise us most when we see the Lord for ourselves will be the extent of our own ingratitude. Listen, beloved, I don't need to tell you that the word think and the word thank, the word think comes from the word think. The ideal is that if we would just simply think about all of the blessings that God bestowed upon us, we can't help but to be thankful. If we think about what the Lord has done for us, if we think about the blessings that God has bestowed upon us, not all of the difficulties or the challenges of life, because in spite of our difficulties and in spite of our challenges and in spite of it not going our way, God still has poured blessings upon our life. And if we would just focus on the good and not always the bad, we will see that God is still blessing us. He keeps on blessing us. Matter of fact, I like the way the psalmist put it when he said, every time I turn around, the Lord keeps on blessing me. I know that ain't just my testimony, but that's all of our testimony, because every time we turn around, the psalmist said, he keeps on blessing us. And listen, beloved, whether we know it or not, we got to recognize that God keeps on blessing us, because if we don't think about the blessings of God and give him thanks, it will be the cause of ingratitude. Listen, beloved, the truth of the matter is the cause of ingratitude is always due to being forgetful for God's blessing. Forgetfulness is the cause of ingratitude. Then what is the cure? I like that. Here it is. The remedy for the cure is found in the words of the psalmist. Forget not all his benefits. Don't forget now one of God's benefits in our life. Not one single benefit we ought to not recognize or remember. In other words, the cure for ingratitude is never forgetting, hear me, all the things the Lord has done for us. But instead, beloved, we've got to always remember and reflect on the many blessings that God has given us. Moses often called the children of Israel to remember the ways God had blessed them. For example, in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 18, he says, thou shalt not be afraid of them, but we shall well remember that the Lord thy God, what the Lord thy God did unto Pharaoh and unto all of Egypt. He says in Deuteronomy chapter 8, and you shall remember all the ways which the Lord thy God led thee 40 years in the wilderness to humble you, to prove you, to know what was in your heart, to see if you would keep his commandments or not. He says in Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 15, and you shall remember, there's that word again, that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee. Listen, beloved, I'm tired of coming to church and running into Christians, beloved, who are so sanctified, who are so holy, as if they had never done anything wrong, that they were never in captive to anything. I wish somebody would help me, that they are better than other folks simply because they are not where other folk are. But listen, beloved, we ought to always remember that the Lord redeemed us from something. Are you listening to me? The truth of the matter is we can't forget. We can't forget where we came from, and we all ought to think where we came from in order to give God thanks. I know you say, well, I wasn't that bad, and I didn't do this, and I didn't do that, and I didn't go there, and I wasn't involved in that. But that don't matter, because the Bible says that we were shaped in sin. Come on, somebody help me. And in iniquity did my mother conceive me. We were born into this thing. And because we were born into it, any sin that we ever committed, listen, beloved, then that means that we were guilty of them all. That's what the Bible says. So we're not all that good. We're not all that perfect. And if you have been redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb, hear me, beloved, you ought to recognize that the Lord has brought you from a mighty long way. Am I right about it? We God not forget those things? Because we too, when we think we ought to thank, we ought to always remember and then rejoice. We ought to pause and then praise. We ought to, we used to sing, look where the Lord has brought me from. He brought me out of darkness into the marvelous light. And if I can't praise God for anything else, at least I can praise him for my redemption. Listen, is there anybody out there who can just simply thank God because you are saved, because he pulled you out of darkness into the marvelous light? I know your light bill is still due, but you're saved. I know that you got some food that you need in your house, but you're still saved. I know you may have lost your job, but hallelujah, you've been redeemed by the Lamb. And if you are a child of God and you lost your job and you need a food, I wish somebody would help me. Somehow or another, the God that we serve will send folk your way to meet whatever need you might have. Thank God that you have been redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb. Are you listening to me? Because the cause of ingratitude is that we forget. The cure is that we never forget where the Lord has brought us from. Listen, I ain't talking to you sanctified folk. I ain't talking to you who say I ain't sinned all the way. I'm only talking to the one who recognized that the Lord has brought you from a mighty long way. Am I right about it? He brought you from darkness into the marvelous light. Listen, we see in the text, beloved, listen, a believer's rejoicing. We see a believer's remembering, but we also see a believer's recounting. If we want to see all of these benefits, this psalmist begins to recount the blessings of the Lord. He begins to name them one by one. Listen, beloved, he speaks of the benefits that he has received from the Lord. Then in verse 3, he begins to recount and name those benefits or those blessings. One writer called it a bundle of benefits. Look at them, if you would. The bundle of benefits that he gives us, beloved. First of all, he is the Lord who forgives. Woo, doggy, I wish somebody would help me. A.W. Tozier said it like this: I believe that the chronic unhappiness for most Christians may be attributed to the gnawing uneasiness that God has not fully forgiven them. The psalmist tells us in verse 3 that the Lord is the one who forgives all our iniquities. The believer can rejoice and be assured that all their sins have been forgiven. Listen, Christians, listen, we enjoy the benefit of a forgiving God. And be assured that our sins are cast as far as the east is from the west. I didn't make that up. It's in verse 12. We ought to remember that he has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. I didn't make that up. That's in verse 10. Listen, beloved, listen, here's what I've come to discover, and that is this: if God has forgiven us, listen, we gotta stop letting other folks hold us hostage. Come on, somebody help me, for our shortcomings in life. That although, beloved, we messed up, hear me, beloved, the truth of the matter is we still have value and purpose. And although we got to move sometime, listen, we can't allow folk to hold us hostage. Let me see if I can't give you a window to see through. Listen, little Johnny, he accidentally shot Big Mama's duck, and his little sister Mary Lou saw him do it. And so Mary Lou, sensing a great opportunity to capitalize on Johnny's misfortune, she said that she would not tell Big Mama that he had killed her prize duck if he would do all of her chores from now on. So every time Mary Lou was called to do her chores, like wash the dishes, she said, okay, Big Mama, but Johnny's going to do it for me. And then she would whisper in Johnny's ear, remember the duck. Listen, whenever she was called to make up her bed, she said, okay, big mama, but Johnny's going to do it for me. And then she would whisper again in Johnny's ear, remember the duck. Are you listening to me? And finally, a week went by and Johnny got tired, and he finally walked up to Big Mama and confessed to Big Mama that he was the one who shot her prize duck accidentally. She looked at him and said, Johnny, I knew you had killed my duck. I was looking out of the window watching you the whole time, and I saw what you had done. Listen, but you need to know Big Mama has forgiven you, and Big Mama loved you more than she loved that duck. So don't worry about it. I'm good and we good. And Johnny looked at her puzzled and said, well, Big Mama, why didn't you say something to me? She said, well, I just wanted to see how long you was going to let Mary Lou keep you in bondage. I wish somebody would help me. Hear me, beloved. Listen, you can't let everybody keep you in bondage from your past, because the truth of the matter is we serve a forgiving God. And if God has forgiven us, the Bible declares he will throw our sins as far as the east is from the west, and he will remember them no more. Listen, beloved, don't let anybody whisper in your ear, I remember when you used to do this, or I remember when you used to do that. Listen, you need to turn to them and say, listen, I know you remember that, but now I need you to know something. I serve a God who forgives. And because he serves a God who forgives, I'm walking in a new purpose, and I'm trying to live my life as best I can. He is the Lord who forgives. But not only that, the Bible says that he is the Lord who heals. Watch that. Verse 3, it says, who heals all your diseases. Charles Spurgeon writes it like this: many-sided is the character of our Heavenly Father for having forgiven us as a judge and then cures us as a great physician. I like that, because listen, beloved, hear me good. God is still a healer. Yeah, I said it. I'll say it again. This is not a promise that a believer will never be sick or that God will heal them because of every sickness or disease. Tap somebody and say, no, that ain't the text. Listen, this statement is on God's ability to heal. We serve a God who is able to heal, and I believe that God heals mankind from diseases. He is Jehovah Rapha, the one who is able to heal. And hear me, beloved, whether you want to believe it or not, God still divinely heals. I believe in the miraculous healing of God, and that you can have an illness, a disease, a sickness, an ailment one day, and God heal you the next day. We've all got witnesses in our life where people went to the doctor and the doctor saw something on the x-ray and told them, there's nothing else I could do for you. But they went back to the doctor. I wish somebody would help me. And the doctor looked at the x-ray again and he says, what I saw before, I don't see anymore. And the only thing that they can attribute that to is that we serve a God who still heals. I believe, beloved, listen, the truth of the matter is God divinely heals, and nobody has to lay hands on you. Nobody has to put you in a prayer line. Nobody has to drop oil on your face. If God wants to heal you, he has the ability to heal. But I also believe, beloved, that God heals through doctors, and he heals. Also, beloved, God heals through death. That's what all of this is about. You think this is about singing on Sunday, and you think this is about, beloved, just ushering at the door or being a deacon on this side? No, it's about more than that. It's about when I lay my, close my eyes for the last time on this side. I open my eyes in the presence of Almighty God based upon my relationship with the Lord. Are you listening to me? And so God knows how to heal, whether it is divinely, whether it is through the doctors, but God also heals through death to take us to that land of no more. No more sickness, no more sorrow, no more suffering, whether every day is Sunday and the Sabbath will have no end. And I hear you. I understand. You ain't trying to go today. I get that. But that is what we do serve, a God who will heal. He's a God who heals, but also the text says he's a God who redeems. It is, beloved, the psalmist speaks of the Lord in verse 4, who redeems your life from the pit. In other words, that pit Warren Wisby describes as God rescuing someone who is about to fall in a pit, in a pit of destruction. And I wish I could help somebody today, because is there anybody here who don't mind testifying that your life was on the fast track for to destruction? You didn't care about anything or anyone because you felt nobody cared about you. You didn't care if you smoked your life away. You didn't care if you drowned your life away. You didn't care if you was jumping from one relationship to the other, trying to find love in all the wrong places. You did all of that, listen, beloved, until you realized that there was someone who loved you more than you. There was someone who was willing to look beyond your faults and to see all of your need. And hallelujah, beloved, somebody can shout today, simply because you are redeemed. We know all of the foolish stuff that we did that should have left us 6 feet under. Some of the crazy things that we attempted should have left us locked up in jail. But praise be to God, he redeemed our life from destruction. Somebody ought to shout today, simply because you are not what you used to be. Come on, somebody help me. You may not be what you ought to be. You may not be where you ought to be, but you sure enough ain't what you used to be. You had an attitude adjustment. You had some stuff happen in your life that made you lose some things in your life. Are you listening to me? And you may not be everything you ought to be, but you can shout today that you ain't what you used to be. You ain't smoking what you used to smoke. You ain't doing what you used to do. You ain't going where you used to go. You are now redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb. He is the God who heals. He's the God who forgives, but he is the God who redeems. But also the text says he's the God who crowns. Watch this. Verse 4, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. How kind and tender is the Lord in all his dealings with his people. Steadfast love speaks of his acts of kindness. Mercy speaks of how compassionate our God is. His grace and mercy, listen, beloved, are the crowns that every believer wears. By God's grace, he gave us unmerited favor, and by mercy, he did not give us what we deserve. Listen, beloved, I like the way the songwriter wrote when he said that God, your grace and mercy brought me through, and I'm living this moment because of you. Every believer ought to say that God loves them and that God cares for them and that God will never abandon us, but he will always come to our rescue. He is the Lord that crowns, but also he says another benefit is that he is the Lord who satisfies. He satisfies us with good so that our youth is renewed like an eagle. It is the ideal of God filling our life with good. good things. Listen, beloved, things that satisfy us, things that complete us, things that make us whole. Are you listening to me? James put it like this when he said, every good and perfect gift comes from above, coming down from the Father of lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Are you listening to me? In other words, everything good that has happened to us comes from Almighty God. And he says that God keeps on satisfying us with good things, that our youth is renewed like the eagle. I like that, because the eagle is the symbol of speed and strength. And God says, I'm going to keep on satisfying your life and supplying your every need, so that when you get weary, hear me, beloved, I will give you the strength to keep on going. That's why the writer in the New Testament says, be not weary in well-doing. Amen. For we shall reap if we do not quit, if we do not give up. Sooner or later, God will come through for us. Don't throw in the towel too quick without giving God an opportunity to renew your strength. Are you listening to me? Listen, that's why I want to encourage somebody today. Keep on pushing. Don't let them stop you. Don't let them hinder you. Don't let them block you from getting what God wants you to have, because the truth of the matter is, God is going to keep on supplying everything good that'll keep you going and keep you pushing. He is the God, the Lord who satisfied. But lastly, the text says he is the Lord who executes. I need to pause and go a little slower real quick on this note, because in verse 6 it says, the Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. Did you get that? He says, the Lord works or executes, in another version, righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. In other words, beloved, God will come to our rescue. When the world pushes us down, God will lift us up. When the enemy tries to destroy us, it will be the Lord who will build us up. When the world mocks us and scorns us and laughs at us, it will be God who will bless us to rise above. When the world puts their knee on your neck and they ostracize, criticize, and alienate us, listen, it will be the Lord who vindicates us. Are you listening to me? Because here it is, all wrongs shall be righted. What did you say, Pastor? I said, all wrongs shall be righted, and all the oppressed shall be avenged. Listen, beloved, I heard Dr. Freddie Haynes say the other day that the coronavirus didn't break America. It just showed where America was broken. And I like that, because listen, here's what we know, that although this pandemic and coronavirus is one of that humans have never experienced before, the desperate racial impact of the virus is deeply rooted in historic and ongoing social and economic injustices in America. Hear me good, because here it is. In other words, the persistent racial disparities of the health status, access to health care, wealth and employment, wages, housing and income, listen, and economic and poverty all can contribute to the greater susceptibility to the virus. Hear me, beloved, both economically and physically. Here it is. That is, that this pandemic has exposed America's injustice to people of color. And I know I've got some brothers from another mother who say that social injustice and inhumane treatment don't belong in the pulpit. And that when we all get to heaven, God will make it right. Listen, they must not be reading the same Bible that I'm reading. The text says the Lord works or executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. Are you listening to me? And the question that I've got to ask is, how does God do that? And let me answer that real quickly, because one of the ways in which God will address and work righteousness and justice justice for all who are oppressed is that the church has a prophetic voice. Listen, not just to predict the future like the prophets of old, but to speak to the issues of the day. When Moses went into Pharaoh, he looked at Pharaoh and said, "Pharaoh, God said, let my people go." He didn't just speak to what was about to happen. He spoke to the issue of the day. And listen, beloved, the church cannot be silent when it comes to righteousness and injustice. The church cannot sit down while the world is tearing us apart. We will not be silent. We will not shut up. We will herald that we serve a God who executes justice and righteousness, and they go hand in hand. We cannot be righteous if we do not implement justice in our society. Preach, Reese. I'm trying to do that for somebody. And listen, beloved, you cannot be silent, and your church cannot be silent. And we've got to speak up for what is right and what is just. I wish somebody would help me. I'm done for the day, beloved, because listen, the Lord forgives, the Lord heals, the Lord redeems, the Lord crowns, the Lord satisfies, and the Lord executes. He works justice and righteousness for everyone that is oppressed. Listen, beloved, how blessed and abundantly blessed we are, those who know the Lord for themselves. That's why we got to count our blessings and name them one by one. Count your blessings and see what the Lord has done. Let us pray together. Most gracious and eternal Father, we don't want to be fooled into thinking that we just got to wait till we get to heaven to experience your bountiful blessings in our life. We don't want to wait until when we get to heaven to know that we are overcomers. We believe that you still speak to the order of the day in which we live. And we see your benefit package. We see what you are able to do. We see that you're a God who forgives, and a God who satisfies, and a God who works, a God who executes, a God who redeems. We're not ashamed, Lord, even as we stand knowing and worshiping you, that you will see us through. And we pray, God, that we speak up and we stand up, and we pray we live right so that the world may know that you're God and God all by yourself. Help us to learn how to rejoice by remembering what you did for us. Help us to recount your blessings and name them one by one so that we may never forget what you did for us on a hill called Calvary. We love you, Lord. We give you praise. It is in Jesus' name we do pray. And together, every child of God said amen.